Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading is from Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, choosing life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Word of God, word of life. Let us read the psalm responsively. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, and leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which is winnowed the most way.
Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed.
Our second reading is a reading from Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Athia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of you, of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I'm appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed may be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even if your own self. Yes, brother, let me have the benefit of this from the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confidence of your obedience, I am writing to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and is not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. When I was preparing for sabbatical several years ago, I discerned that the best opportunity to rest and silence. Let's talk a little bit about what was going on during that time. I attended worship every day. There we sang, we prayed, we read. I also met with a Jesuit priest for spiritual direction, where the focal question was, "How was your prayer yesterday?" But I talked in that time. Though the priest was a real old school spiritual director, so he didn't let me ramble on with all my cerebrations about the cool things I had been thinking about over the past day. Also, there was a couple of times during the retreat when I was released to go into town, to go to a movie, go out to eat, be in the community at large. I spent that time with my brother, and there was conversation. So, for retreats, and as far as retreats go, well, let's just say that that facility was not as silent as one might expect. And of course, none of that is the point. The point is that in retreat, I became very clear about the notion of holy indifference. Other traditions may talk about equanimity. With an attitude of holy indifference, one enters into, see if I can get rid of that echo. Can't do it. Enter into, I think it's me actually. So I'm going to do something real quick here. Leave the meeting. There we go. Come on. Technology is not my friend today. With an attitude of holy indifference, one enters into life and situations with an openness to what God may be doing. One enters a space that allows movement for the movement of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps more important, one lets go of expectations. As I began to sit with Jesus this week, His hard words for those who are following Him struck me. They are quite shocking. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, life itself cannot be my disciple. That is a lot to take in. Certainly, at a literal level, one might construe Jesus' words to be some kind of a death pact. Of course, Jesus is not speaking literally. He is making sure that those who are following Him, those who hear His word, get the point. And the point is that sometimes when following the way of God's reign, disciples of every time will come to a decision point. And the decision may indeed involve a question of whether to follow, to honor, to be a part of what Jesus and His articulation and embodiment of the reign of God looks like, or to focus on other relationships. The first reading talked about following other gods, where family and friends and business associates and other affiliations. Perhaps Jesus is calling the faithful to live in those relationships with a certain equanimity or even a holy indifference, in that the followers of Jesus hold on loosely, to distort terribly lyrics from 38 Special. To hold on loosely to worldly things. It is quite possible that living in the reign of God will call upon disciples to let go of things they could easily value most. Jesus offers up examples of counting the cost of discipleship. One question that comes to mind is, who can ever really know the cost? To be sure, when planning a building project, some have suggested that we should add, 10% to what the estimate is to cover those cost overruns. But in the current economy, with what's going on this past year or so, that 10% would be easily not nearly enough. Counting the cost as one is about to be attacked raises a whole nother stark question, as we saw with the situation with, the king. How does one measure the resilience of one's country? Recent history has lifted up some surprising answers from the Ukraine. The cost of discipleship is often to risk one's reputation, one's future income, one's wealth, all that humanity tends to value as markers of worth and solidarity with those who have no power, who are discriminated against, who are oppressed in any number of ways, has costs that are difficult to calculate. Over these past several weeks, we have heard Jesus, as He has been set His face toward Jerusalem, He has been following the way to that place. one can be sure that he has been counting the cost of his interpretation and embodiment of God's reign. There are crowds who have been gathering and following with him. They are liking what they hear. They love the ways that Jesus is challenging the established norms both within and beyond the religious community as they continue to follow Jesus toward Jerusalem. He issues this warning: are you really ready to go this way? He says, so therefore none of you can become my disciples if you do not give up all your possessions. With these difficult words, Jesus calls all who follow him to stand for God's justice, love, and grace at the risk of all that humanity values. Jesus calls us to put God first.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.